भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय। नमस्ते पंकजांघ्रिये। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 21 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द गोपीज ग्लोरीफाई कृष्णास फ्लूट वर्स नंबर 15। नद्यस्तदा तद उपधार्य मुकुंद गीतम्। आवर्तलक्षित मनोभव भग्न वेगाः आलिंगन स्थगितम् उर्मि भुजैर्मुरारेर् गृह्णन्ति पादयुगलं कमलोपहाराः। नद्यस्तदा तद् उपधार्य मुकुन्द गीतम् आवर्त लक्षित मनोभव भग्न वेगाः आलिंगन स्थगित मुर्मि भुजैर्मुरारेर् गृह्णन्ति पादयुगलं कमलोपहाराः। नद्यस्तदा तद् उपधार्य मुकुन्द गीतम् आवर्त लक्षित मनोभव भग्न वेगाः आलिंगन स्थगित मुर्मि भुजैर्मुरारेर् गृह्णन्ति पादयुगलं कमलोपहाराः। नद्यस्तदा तदुपधार्य मुकुन्द गीतम् आवर्त लक्षित मनोभव भग्न वेगाः ఆలింగన స్థగితమూర్తి భుజై పురారే గృహంతి పాదయుగలం కమలోపహారా మధ్యస్థదాతద్పదార్యముకుందగీతం ఆవర్తలక్షితమనోభవమగ్నవేగాృణి పాదయుగలం కమలోపహారా మధ్యస్థదా తదుపధార్యముకుందగీతం ఆవర్తలక్షితమనోభవభగ్నవేగా ఆలింగిన స్థగితముర్మి భుజైర్మురారే గృహ్ణంతి పాదయుగలం కమలోపహార మాతజీస్ మధ్యస్థదాపద్భుతదార్యముకుందగీతం ఆవర్తలక్షితమనోభవభగ్నవేగా అలింగిన స్థగితమూర్మి భుజైర్మురారే గృహ్ణంతి పాదయుగలం కమలోపహార
నదియః ద రివర్స్ తదా దెన్ తత్ దాట్ ఉపధార్య పర్సీవింగ్ ముకుంద ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ గీతం ద సాంగ్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఫ్లూట్ ఆవర్త బై దర్ వర్ల్పూల్స్ లక్షిత మేనిఫెస్ట్ మనహభావ బై దర్ కాంజుగల్ డిజైర్ భగ్న broken, vega, their currents, alingana, by their embrace, sthagitam, held stationary, urmi bhujaye, by the arms of their waves, murare, of Lord Murari, grannanti, they seize, pada yugalam, the two lotus feet, kamala upaharah, carrying offerings of lotus flowers. Translation and purport. Translation. When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him, and thus the flow of their currents is broken and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then, with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet and, holding on to them, present offerings of lotus flowers. Purport. Even such sacred bodies of water as the Yamuna and the Manasa Ganga are enchanted by the flute song, and thus they are disturbed by conjugal attraction for young Krishna. The gopis are implying that since many different types of living beings are overwhelmed by conjugal love for Krishna, why should the gopis be criticized for their intense desire to serve Krishna in the conjugal relationship? Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadur Varge Naya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumartho Maham Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatra Daruna Parahem Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in the first place, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I may be able to render properly the service which I have been given to do today. Hare Krishna. So we are on this chapter entitled The Gopis Glorify Krishna's Flute. And just before this, we had the chapter which describes the rainy season and autumn in Vrindavan. So this is a beautiful setting which has been described in this chapter, the earlier chapter and the present chapter, describing all the glories and beauties of Vrindavan and the interactions of the Lord and His very close associates. Autumn season is the period between summer and winter. After summer, there is the rainy season. And when the rains get over and before the winter sets in, that is the time of autumn season. Of course, this autumn season is referred to mostly in Great Britain, but in India, it is known as Sharad Rutu. And it is at that time that Krishna performs his Ras Leela, Darsharat Purnima. So as the rains, summer peaks, the rains come giving much awaited relief. The earth becomes green and it is fresh all around. And when the rains abate, then it is a very beautiful setting. The earth is fresh, the trees are newly washed, and it is green all around, full of life and very lively. So that is the setting. It was very pleasant, climatically green, full of water, lotuses. And here is Lord Krishna and Balram. They are entering the forest of Vrindavan with their friends, and Krishna is playing on his flute as if the climate itself is so intoxicating, as if that was not enough. To heighten that intoxication, Krishna is now playing on his flute. And the sound of Krishna's flute is so endearing, it is actually directly calling everybody as though individually by name. All those who have love for Krishna can hear his flute. The gopis share a very intimate relationship in conjugal rasa with Krishna. And they are so enamored by the sound of this flute. Actually, whenever a person loves somebody, anything that person does is very appealing. The classic example for this is, if there is a small child at home. There is a small child at home, the child will innocently be just moving the hands or legs or making some facial expressions or making some sounds. But that is so endearing to the parents, to the family members, to the near ones, dear ones, all those who are around the child. They take so much pleasure in appreciating every little thing that the child does. So is the case with the living entities and the Supreme Lord. When the living entities have realized their true constitutional position, that we are the eternal servants of the Lord, and in love they begin to serve the Lord, then this is what happens to them. They spontaneously appreciate the Lord, which is known as Raganuga Bhakti. And under such circumstances, whatever the activities of the Lord does is full of glory. To those who do not have that kind of an attitude, who are so engrossed in their material activities, this may seem boring description. You say, what is there so much to glorify? Krishna steals butter and you glorify it. But behind that is love. This is what has to be understood. Here the gopis are comparing the river to a woman. Now Krishna and Balaram, they have entered the waters of the Yamuna. And they have entered the shallow waters, and there are lotuses all around, and the current of the river is flowing. There are whirlpools here and there, one or two whirlpools, and these lotuses are gathering around their feet. But how are the gopis perceiving this? This is the mundane vision. Anybody who sees, they will see this scene. But how do the gopis see this? That is what is described here. Because of their eyes are anointed with love. Premanjuna charita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hrudayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So this aspect has been very nicely described in the Brahma Samhita also. So here there is a different kind of a vision. The gopis are comparing the river to a woman who is offering lotus flowers and holding on the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Murari. That is how they perceive it. They don't see it that he is entering the shallow waters, there are some lotuses scattered around his feet, there are two whirlpools and some currents are flowing. No. For them, the vision is very different. This is the vision they see. Why? Because of the love they have. And they say, just look at it. When Krishna, with all his charm, with all his beauty, and Balaram, when they are entering these waters, even these waters cannot remain unagitated. Just see what they are doing. They are encircling him. They are offering him lotus flowers. They are holding his feet. And hearing to his flute sound, they have gone mad. Then they say, then why do you blame us? If we go mad hearing the flute sound of hearing the flute song of Krishna, when we see him, you cannot blame us. It's not fair. Even the waters which are supposed to be inanimate are getting agitated. This is the intensity of their love. So this is the power of Krishna's attraction. Actually, there's something, a background to all this description. Actually, His Grace Rajajyoti Prabhu, while talking on the previous chapter, also mentioned this point. There is a book known as The Light of Bhagavatam. And before Prabhupada ventured to the West, while he was still preaching in India, he had an invitation to go to Japan and speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam in front of an international audience, especially the Oriental audience. And at that time, he prepared notes. And what was the chapter of entire Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam has 18,000 shlokas, 10 cantos, 18 books, 10 volumes. But what was it that he chose from this entire range? He chose the 20th chapter of the 10th canto, describing the rainy season and the autumn season in Vrindavan. Now, why did he choose this? Because in this description, there is two visions. One is what is apparent. It is raining, grass is growing, the rivers are flowing, etc. But the other is very deep philosophy that goes along with it. Very, very deep philosophy. So Prabhupada thought it is best to explain the philosophy with the help of nature. Let us take the example of nature, which we see all around every time, and relate it to this high philosophy that the Vedas have got to offer, that Bhagavatam has got to offer. That way Bhagavatam will become very relevant and attractive. So therefore, Prabhupada wrote these entire notes on the 20th chapter, and that has been today compiled as the Light of Bhagavata. But somehow things didn't happen and he never went to Japan. But later on his disciples, they collected these notes and they have published it as the Light of Bhagavata. Now what does the Light of Bhagavata say? Actually, if you read the book, before coming to that, I would like to briefly go back to the lecture of His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He spoke on last Saturday, I believe, 22nd of June. And he gave a very beautiful analysis, talking on this chapter, The Gopis Glorify Krishna's Flute. He said, there are two kinds of vision. One is the mundane vision and the other is spiritual vision. And what is spiritual vision? Spiritual vision is to see everything in relation to Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Spirit. So when you see everything in relation to Krishna, then that is spiritual vision. And everything has two aspects. One is the philosophical truth, the foundation, the basis. And that is known as tattva, truth. And the second is rasa. Rasa is aesthetics or relishment, pure relishment. And he gave a beautiful example to explain this. He says, if you hold a beautiful flower and look at it, what is your immediate reaction? Want to smell it? Yes. And appreciate its beauty, because flower is an object of beauty. Nature's creation, the Lord's creation. But you show it to a botanist and what will he say? Oh, this is the corolla. This is the sepal. This is the stigma. And he will describe all the various parts and the functions of the different parts. Now what happens? When you look at the flower from the angle of a botanist, what happens? All the beauty is lost. And Radha Gopinath Prabhu nicely describes this kind of an approach. Operation successful, patient dead. The flower is meant to give beauty. You got to relish. You've got to enjoy its beauty. So that vision, where you are able to relish and enjoy the vision, that is spiritual vision. The rasa. You get into the rasa. Of course, but it also has a basis. So tattva is also there. Tattva is included in rasa. It is not that tattva is negated, that the fundamental truth is not obstructed. But that is there, but over and above that, there is something special. And an Acharya like Srila Prabhupada has given us very beautiful spiritual insights into all these purports. And so the pastimes of the denizens of Vrindavan with Krishna, from that point of view, are not mundane, ordinary exchanges, especially between Krishna and the gopis or Krishna and the gopas, as that which a person deals with his boyfriends or girlfriends. It is not like that. It is completely loaded with love and surrender. And that is what heightens all the pleasure of these pastimes. And then Prabhupada gives one or two shlokas to explain how to actually purify one's vision. We can look at nature. We see the beautiful sunrise. We see the moon rise. We see the sunset. It's all very appealing. But what should you remember? How the tattva comes into the play. He says, Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. Quoting a verse from Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita, under my superintendence and under my supervision, this entire material nature is functioning. Maya dhyakshena prakriti. Prakriti means nature. And all these activities are happening according to the laws of nature which have been laid down. And of course, the lawmaker is Krishna himself. So if you can relate these beautiful sights with the Creator, then your vision is purified. Then you understand. So automatically, when you see the beautiful sights of nature, spontaneous love for Krishna has to erupt in one's heart. My God, look at this flower, how beautiful. Look at this bird, how beautiful. How appealing it is. Who could have made this? It's a fact. With all our expertise, with all our abilities, we can't even grow a blade of grass. It has been said, botanists have written volumes and volumes of books on a blade of grass. What is its composition? What is the cellular structure? How it grows? How it spreads? So on and so forth. But in the laboratory, you can't grow even a blade of grass. It has to grow naturally in the earth under the benign sunshine and the natural waters. All these natural elements are required for the blade of grass to grow. And this can also be a cause of illusion. Therefore we should remember, Daivi esha hi gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadhyante maya mietam tarantite. So one must not get caught up in the external vision. One has to go delve deep and go to the spiritual vision. So if you get caught up in the external vision, then that means you are subjected to the illusory potency. Illusion is the external energy of the Lord. So if you are getting caught up in the external vision, it can act like a net. But those who have the spiritual insight, they can penetrate and delve deep within. And therefore we have to remember these shlokas. And also there is one beautiful shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, very often when you call people to satsang programs, when you invite them to spiritual activities, what is their common reply? I have no time. Why? They are very busy. Who is not busy? Everybody is busy. So this shloka explains the importance that one must do one's material activities. It is not that spirituality tells you that don't do your activities. It says you do it very nicely, on the contrary, do it in a better way. But then the principle that we have to bear in mind is dharma svanushtitam pumsa vishvaksena katha suya na utpadayet yadiratim shramaye vahi kevalam. All the work that you do is simply a waste of labor if the result of doing the work does not give rise to attraction to hearing the supreme pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That is the test. So whether we are working in proper consciousness, that is what we have to check. So while doing our work, we must know why we are doing and for whose pleasure we are doing. So if you dedicate your entire work as an offering to the Supreme Lord and your entire life as an offering to the Supreme Lord, then what happens? Then naturally you are attracted to hearing more about Him, understanding more about Him, because He is the object of your worship, He is the object of your love, and He is the object of all the services that you are rendering. That is how it works. So they are very interrelated. Now, we are talking about Krishna's flute. And there are some very interesting stories regarding Krishna's flute. So there is one short story and there is one long story. Let me first relate the short story. This is from the Bhagavatamrita. So Krishna, he goes daily to the forest with his Gopa boyfriends. And they take the cows and the calves. And they spend the day, allow the crows to graze and they come back. And we have all heard that when Krishna plays on his flute, the cows are enchanted. They raise their ears and they are completely absorbed in hearing the sound of that flute. And Krishna uses the flute to call his cows individually. And when he plays the flute, they come running to him, responding to his call. That is the natural attraction they have for him. So one night, when they all came back, the Gopals, they went to their respective homes. But suddenly they all got up, they came together, and they had an irresistible urge to go and meet Krishna. So though it was middle of the night, they all come together, and you know, united we are strong, they say. So together, when they saw that they are all together, they took courage and went and knocked on Krishna's door. Yashoda Mahi came and opened the door. And she said, "Yes, what is it?" They say, "We want to meet Gopal." "But it's night time, Gopal is sleeping." "Come back later when he wakes up." So they go. But again they can't hold themselves. Again they come running back. Again they knock. She says, "My dear, did I not tell you that Gopal is sleeping? He will wake up in the morning. So now you please go home and take rest." So this way the night was sleepless for them. So they went home and they slept. It was morning and they were still sleeping because they didn't sleep during the night. Now Krishna gets up, he gets ready, and then he sees, "Where are my friends?" He does not see his friends. So what does he do? He takes up his flute and then he begins to play sweet melody on his flute. And then it is as though the sound of the flute was calling each Gopa individually. "Sridhama, wake up, come on, let us go to the pastures, let us go to the forest." Sridhama comes. Then individually he is calling all his friends. Stoka, so on and so forth. So this is that small pastime of how Krishna uses the flute to individually call his Gopa friends. As I told you, it can appear to be very mundane, but when seen in relation to the love between the associates and the Lord, then it is not at all mundane. When Prabhupada used to come to the different centers in the early years of formation of ISKCON, you know the excitement that used to be there in the hearts of the devotees who were there in that center? Prabhupada is coming was a very big statement. They would get completely, what do you say, livened up. What not to do? Clean this, clean that, set this right, do this. Why? So enthused. Prabhupada is coming. So exactly the same way. Just waiting to see Krishna, his boyfriends could not wait for the whole night. That was there. That shows the intensity of the love. Now the second story, it will take a little time, I think. Should I say or no? I'm wondering. Let me see if I can. Okay. This is from the Anand Vrindavan Champu. And it was the time of Holi. And Krishna and Balram, they were playing with colors with their friends, the Gopa boys and the Gopi girls. So Balram, with his rolling eyes, drunk on Varuni, was showering kumkuma on the gopis. They had two separate set of gopis. Balram would dance with his gopis and Krishna would dance with his gopis. So he was showering kumkuma on his gopi friends. And Krishna did likewise with Radhika, Lalita, Chandravali, Shyama, Bhadra. These are the names mentioned in this book. Krishna played on his celebrated flute, defeating the pride of the gopis, who were singing very skillfully. The gopis surrounded him and drowned him with saffron powder. And like an obedient boy, he put his head down, defeated by their love, and became engrossed in playing his flute. And he glanced towards his gopa boyfriends, and they understood what was his mood. Immediately they came rushing at all the gopi girls with handfuls of powder, and they start throwing this powder on the gopis. Balram's gopis got intimidated, they got frightened, and they ran away. And Krishna's gopis, they sort of teased and they made fun and they sang. Then seeing that his gopi girlfriends were driven away, Balram came rushing like a bull and he caught hold of all the gopas one by one with his hands, holding them like friends, how they play. And he started throwing colors on them. Now all the boys, gopa boys, they came together and together they approached Balram and they encircled him completely and they put so much powder on him that he could not hold any boy together. And now Balram, like an obedient boy, was standing in their midst, completely defeated by their showering of colors. And then it is described that he looked like a mountain of white lotuses covered by the forest of pink lotus. A full moon smeared with kumkuma. So Krishna's gopis were ignited with conjugal feelings. And they got a plan. They said, let us steal Krishna's flute. Why did they want to steal Krishna's flute? Because they said, see, Krishna's flute is stealing our heart. So we will steal Krishna's flute. And when Krishna plays on the flute, it is piercing us like a spear. So it is better that we steal the flute away from him and keep it with us. But how? There were three problems we were facing. First was, Krishna is always conscious of his flute. Second, he never by mistake even leaves his flute. And third, even when he is confused, he is tightly gripping it. But they said the third option is the best. Best is to confuse Krishna a little. That is the only chance we have of taking the flute away from him. So, one gopi, she went and told Radhika, only if you become sulky and become obstinate, Krishna will be disturbed and he will be confused. He will become bewildered. At least for some time, act like that. Then he will stop playing his flute and then we will all start singing very loudly. Now Krishna had a friend, his name was Kusumasava. He was a Brahmana. And he came to Krishna and he said, oh Krishna, do you know these gopis, they are so jealous of your flute, they actually want to steal it. Best is you give it to me. I am a Brahmana. They cannot steal it from me. And I have Brahminical powers. Please trust me, Krishna. Krishna said, but you know, these gopis are mad girls. What if they come and snatch the flute from your hand? Kusumasava said, I have powers. I have done a lot of penances. They cannot take it away from me. So, he took Krishna's flute and kept it under his arm. And now he told Krishna, now Krishna, you please sing a song. So Krishna sang in Charchari Tala. And what happened when he sang? The river Yamuna stopped flowing. The trees started weeping. They were dripping water. And the birds and animals, they started trembling in ecstasy. Streams of sweetness entered the ears of the deer. Kusuma Sava told the gopis, "Oh arrogant gopis, you cannot sing with such expertise." There was one gopi whose name was Sangeeta Vidya. She was a musician. She said, "Oh intelligent one, Lalita can sing better than Krishna. Let the flute be the wager." She says, "You bet on the flute. If you lose the bet, then we will get the flute." Kusuma Sava said, "Only I know the science of music. I will be the judge and declare the winner." Sangeeta Vidya said, "Who are you to judge?" Meanwhile, Krishna continued singing and smiled at Kusuma Sava. Understanding his mood, he said, "Oh, you vain woman, you have no faith in my knowledge of music? Okay, let us see if Lalita singing can bring the same results, that is, make the Yamuna stop, make the trees cry, and make the birds and the animals tremble. Okay, let us both wager. To be fair, we wager the flute and you wager Radharani." Lalita replied, "Stupid, the stakes must be equal. Glass and gold cannot be alike." Kusuma Sava said, "What? You mean the flute is glass and Radhika is gold?" Lalita said, "If you have the courage, then wager Krishna. We wager Radharani." Kusuma said, "Okay, that's fair. I am pure in heart. I am sure we will win." Then Lalita sang in the Kedara rag. Very skillfully, she surpassed the Gandharvas. Then she sang to the conventions of musical taste in Maharashtrian dialect. I didn't know this. That's given in the book. Kusuma Sava, in wild joy, holding his hands above his head, shouted, "You are defeated." He raised his hands and the flute slipped and fell down. And when the flute fell down, Sangeeta Vidya noticed it. She quietly went and picked it up and she went away from there. She didn't tell it and she didn't tell anybody. She spoke, "Kusuma Sava, let Krishna judge who is the winner. Why do you rejoice for what has not happened? You say that you are the winner, but let Krishna judge. We don't accept your judgment." Kusum said, "The wager was for singing in Charchari Tal and Lalita has sang in some other Tal. So therefore you are defeated." So Lalita and Sangeeta, they both laughed. They said, "What Charchari? Hear the Sura of the songs. Hear the Swara. See, the jewels under the trees have all melted. And as liquids, they have spread around the trees." Now you know Vrindavan is spiritual abode and it is full of gems. "And once they became liquid, they again solidified, and they solidified as sitting platforms around the trees." So they said, "Look at this. True, when Krishna sang, the river solidified, the trees wept and animals trembled. But when Lalita started singing, they have all petrified as hard rock. So we have won. You have lost. Bring Krishna here." Subala said, O Sangeeta Vidya, don't fool yourself. How can Kusuma Sava wager Krishna? One can only wager a person who is dependent. No one can wager and give away the Lord." Krishna told Kusuma Sava, "Friend, now these girls have gone mad. Please, before they snatch the flute, give it back to me." Kusuma Sava said, "But Krishna, you have won. So you go and snatch Radharani." Lalita, known for her hot temper, she shouted, "You ass, we have won." Kusuma Sava said, "You greedy woman, you are arrogant. Okay, take the flute." He started looking for the flute, but he did not find it. So he made up and said, "Out of fear, the flute has run away and it is hiding in a safe garden." Meanwhile, there was a foolish demon by the name Shankachuda. He was a yaksha servant of Kubera. He jumped in front of Balaram's gopis and he came to steal their jewels. The gopis of Balaram started shouting, "Oh Krishna, oh Balaram, please save us." So immediately Krishna ran. He killed the Shankhachuda demon with his fist. He took out the crest jewel which was on his head, and then he came and offered it to Balaram. Then again he playfully joined the gopis and the gopas. And after the interruption, Krishna returns to his friends. This is just like a Hindi movie. There is a hero, there is a heroine, and suddenly a villain comes in. So then he came to catch up with the play. He started going from one gopi to another and he said, "You gopis have stolen my flute. You thief." Then he came to Chandravali's assistants. He ripped out their bodies searching for his flute. They responded with frowning face and charming smiles. Gopis said, "Such bad behavior and conduct only can be expected from you. How could the flute slip from your hand and hide in our bodies? If we have stolen your flute, then punish us. But not, if not, then we will take your necklaces and Kaustubha jewel." Chandravali said, "O arrogant one, Kusuma Sava took your flute. Actually, we wanted to steal it." Kusuma said, "Yes, ladies have stolen the flute." He told, "Krishna, not these gopis. Sangeeta Vidya has stolen your flute." Very diplomatically and with a gateful walk, she passed that flute to Lalita. Kusuma Sava said, "I joked the goddess of music has stolen your flute. But actually Sangeeta Vidya thought I have taken her name. So now it is revealed that she has stolen the flute because immediately she ran away from this place. Now the thief is caught." Now Lalita hid the flute behind her back and Sangeeta Vidya stepped forward and she said, "Don't accuse me or else I will punish you, O Brahmana." Then Lalita passed on the flute to Radharani. Krishna came and touched Lalita as if searching for the flute. She said, "I do not have your flute. You might have dropped it while chasing Shankhachuda." Kusuma Sava said, "Radha must be the thief." Krishna, "Yes, yes, I will search Radha." When Krishna started searching Radha, a gopi of Balaram presented the Shankhachuda jewel to Radharani. As Radha held out the hand to accept the Shankhachuda jewel, the flute slipped from her and fell down. Kusuma Sava, looking that the flute has fell down from Radharani's hand, he went wild with joy and said, "Yes, yes, so you have stolen the flute." And Lalita was right, said Krishna. "When I chased Shankhachuda, I got the jewel." When I chased Shankhachuda and got the jewel from Shankhachuda, actually the flute must have slipped from my hand and fallen down. And now when that same jewel has come to Radharani's hand, the flute again slipped from her hand and fell down. And this way, what happened was, ultimately the flute was found, and ultimately what happened was, it was a happy ending. Charges and counter charges, accusation and counter accusation. So if you see this entire episode, there is nothing very serious, but it is just a sporting pastime. And what did Kusuma Sava say in the end? He said, "Such intelligence of Brahaspati cannot be found in anyone of your age. It is not astounding that Radha, whose perfect, faultless and auspicious form takes away my friend's negligence, has also stolen his enchanting flute, whose form is inauspicious and full of holes. But Krishna, the amazing thing is that you saw that I have taken the flute from you. So how did it get to them? O friend, with the hue of a tamala, now please take your celebrated flute." Then Damodara, rejoicing with pleasure, took the flute and played it sweetly. And as the beautiful gopis displayed various symptoms of ecstatic bliss, the festival came to a close. Can I have just 2-3 more minutes? Because I have something to share with you a little bit. So this entire thing, I mean this entire discussion today, try to summarize it lightly and in the form of a poem. As the sun will rise after every night, fire will burn, be it friend or foe. Without respite, the seasons will change. But who brings the change that changelessly change? To see him is sight, to see him, to serve him is right. If you know not his might, you chance have no slight. With a heart of gratitude and service attitude, call out his names from the core of his soul, from the core of your soul. For he is the cause of all that you know, and to him if you offer all that you have, then distress and stress will cross not your path. So do not you wander and stick to this path. For you are his part and he is the whole. When the part meets the whole, it reaches the goal. Happy and fulfilled, then will you be in all of the seasons when him will you see. Yashoda's darling, Nanda's son, life of Radha, Krishna is he. In the season of Sharad, which autumn we call, on his flute does he play to call one and all. The birds and the bees silence their humming, and the waters of river just stop streaming. Living, non-moving, stunned are they all, like the cows of Lord Krishna, tuned to his call. Oh, great is that Vraja, great is that Lord, whose mercy and kindness is open for all. Blessed are the gopis, who are tallest of the tall, in the stature of devotion to the Lord of all creation. Man-made factory and God-made tree. The factories like Kalia set poison free. The trees of Lord Krishna give you your food. In summer give shade, in winter give wood. Just hear his great flute and him you salute and offer him back your life as tribute. Though fallen we be, very kind is he. The meaning of mantra is to set the mind free. In this age of Kali, listen you silly, chant the Maha Mantra and that is the Tantra. His name 16 sweet, or the sound of his flute, like two sides of a coin, are one and the same. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. It's already late. Sorry for taking more time. Hare Krishna.